Good morning. How are you this morning? Welcome to Jenkins Church. Tell you what, this morning let's do something a little different. I want everyone to stand up and say hello to the people by you. You can't hear me? If everyone would, stand up and welcome the people next to you. Sent for technical help. Just bear with us just a moment. That sound any better? Pull it up. Does that sound okay? Thank you. Thank you, Becky. We would like to welcome our visitors this morning. Do we have anybody on the left side? Good to see you again, Brother Ben. Anybody in the middle with us for the first time? Yes, ma'am.
Melanie's got an introduction. Look this way.
Melanie. Thank you for being with us. Anyone on the right side, first day? Are there any announcements that need to be made today that are in the bulletin or something new? Yes, Elizabeth. Okay. Yes. Patrick. Any other announcements? Yes, Becky.
Good morning. As you may know, this weekend there's a consignment sale here at the church that will support Amelia Zadig, our missions to Russia, and the Grace Team, which is their missions to South America and other places with Sam and Nancy. In the past, I have had my brother Bob to help me. As you know, he had knee surgery last week and his brother off his feet.
Thank you. Yes, John.
Raising some money and raising some labor. So if you have any
John, do you know when you'll be needing labor?
I'm trying to get something going with him in the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
But within 2 weeks, we'll be in the same place.
Okay.
Or it'll be done. We'll
be. Are there any other announcements that need to be made at this time? Yes, ma'am. Yes, Debbie. Thank you.
You have anything else?
Savannah has provided an insert concerning the choir. Is that sufficient? Read the insert figure at what time? 6 o'clock tonight if you've got any interest in the choir. If you don't have any interest, come and they may inspire you to have it.
Okay, if you haven't, would you please sign the attendance register and pass it to the people next to you? Please mark that you attend the 10:15 service. Prayer or praise requests? I'm sorry, go ahead, Mike. Anyone else? I would like to add Pam Darnell, who had quadruple bypass, and Al Gregory with cancer.
Sheila?
Oh, sorry, Sheila. Thank you, Sheila. We're blessed to have you. Yes.
Larry.
Bill Ellis. Yes, Carol. Good to have you, Diane. Okay, if you would please pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing your heart to receive the word of the Lord as we do the lighting of the candles. Our call to worship this morning is in your bulletin.
Please stand.
Please stand. Blessed be the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Praise be to God, the giver of many gifts.
Our help is in God's name, the one who calls us here.
We come with songs of praise, with prayers too deep for words.
Blessed be the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Blessed be the Lord.
If you would, please turn to number 10 in your hymnal.
Join me for prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come to worship You. And Lord, we pray that You would so invade our being that we could worship You in truth and in spirit. Oh Lord, we come to recognize Your might, but also to just rejoice in Your mercy, Your grace. Lord, we thank You for being God and letting us be Your people. We thank You for creating us. And then when we rebelled, You came searching for us and called us back, redeemed us. Jesus paid the price for our sin. And we just, Lord, words can't describe, or we don't have words to describe our thanks, our appreciation. Lord, work in us, use us, enable us to glorify You in this hour, but also when we walk out the door into the world. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And you may be seated.
We're now ready for the Apostles' Creed, if you would. It's in number 716 in your hymnal. It's on the screen. Join with me, please.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
The call to confession this morning is from James 5. The prayer of the faithful is strong and powerful, bringing forgiveness of sins. Let us confess our sins to one another and before our God, that we may be healed and forgiven. The prayer of confession is in unison. If you would join with me, please. Forgive us, Holy One, when we do not pray for those who suffer or care for those who are sick. When we forget to offer words of gratitude for the many gifts in our lives, when we judge others and neglect your teaching that we are in partnership with one another, when we lose the saltiness of your teachings, the excitement and energy you offer us on this journey of discipleship, flavor us with your love, knead into our very being your mercy and your grace. Sprinkle us with the spices of compassion and commitment. Even as we are forgiven, leaven us with forgiveness for others. In trust of your eternal grace and merciful forgiveness, we pray. Amen. Words of assurance this morning from James 5, verse 15. Anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Friends, no matter how great our sins or how far we have wandered from the path, the word of Scripture is true. In the name of Christ, in Christ's mercy and love, we are all forgiven and reconciled to God. Our hymn is on the screen. And we obviously do not have a song leader.
In the secret, in the quiet way, in the spirit you are there. In the secret, in the quiet far away, only for you, those I want to know you more.
Thank you, praise band. Our offertory sentence this morning, Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Would our ushers come forward, please?
Anyone filling in for Miss Andrea or Miss Jude? There she comes. Okay.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm the
Miss Elizabeth has children's church today. And while they're going back there, I don't know if you noticed or not, the panic in my eyes when I realized we didn't have a song leader. Mike Bryan's going to read scripture today.
I'm thankful for my wife. She's very good at being impromptu and fixing things real quick, and that's not just at home but here at church. So I could only think of funny how the mind works, but when she was giving that lesson to the children this morning, I could only think of this. Every time it rains pennies from heaven. Yeah, I'm glad that God gave us the rain. We've had 2 weeks of it. I'm glad to see it, and I'm looking forward to a beautiful fall. I think it's going to help us have a beautiful fall. It replenishes the earth, like she said. It gives back all those nourishing things that the trees and the flowers and all those things that we have in the fall need, so that they can have that sugar in their leaves and bring out all the pretty oranges and gold and yellows and all those pretty fall colors. So I'm thankful that God's in charge of the weather and not us. Have you read your Bible today? If you haven't, do so. And if you haven't, at least listen to God's Word today as I read to you the Scripture text for today's message. And there's quite a bit of Scripture from different places. 1 John 5 through 9, John 17, 7 through 8, John 14, 26, John 16, 12 through 15, and 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10, and 12 through 14. And it reads as follows from God's Word. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which He has given about His Son. Now they know that everything You have given Me comes from You. For I gave them the words You gave Me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from You, and they believed that You sent Me. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Here ends the reading of God's Word. May it be a blessing to our ears, to our hearts, and to our souls. Thank you.
273, please. 273. Verse 1, please.
Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure thou art mine to tell me whence I come, mine to teach me what I am.
Have a display of Bibles out in the lobby, but I wanted to bring part of that display here, and so I did to use as an aid in preaching. That song continues, number 273, talking about the Bible. Mine to chide me when I rove, mine to show the Savior's love, mine thou art to guide and guard, mine to punish or reward, mine to comfort in distress, suffering in the wilderness, mine to show by living faith man can triumph over death, mine to tell of joys to come and the rebel's sinner's doom. O thou holy book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. So happened this week, or last week I guess it was, recently anyway, I brought all the Bibles that I have over here to the church. Looked around one evening, late, and in the house didn't have a Bible. We did have some in the garage, but I never made it out there to get one. But then I remembered, I mentioned last week, you can find the Bible on the internet. I have a program on my computer called Quick Verse, then Bible Gateway on the internet. I say that to call your attention to the possibility of having a computer with the Bible loaded on it. Also have a little Go Bible. It's kind of like a one of these things that the young people tote around with a lot of music on it, but the whole Bible is on it, called a Go Bible. And so I had that out in the car, so I had more Bibles around than I thought about. Then if you're out and don't have Quick Verse, but you have access to the internet, you can go to Bible Gateway, www.biblegateway, and look it up. Mary Jo came to me this morning with a story about this little Bible. I said the other day that somebody left two boxes of these at the church. Still don't know where they came from, but Mary Jo, I put them in the lobby, and I said if you find more than one of something, you can take it. Please leave one copy. Incidentally, this week I found about three copies of two other New Testaments with different covers on them. So whoever brought them, thank you. Now, part of them are gone. I think I have about six Bibles, all of them, but one's gone, and that's good. We don't need them to stay around the church. We have access to Bibles. Get them out in the community. Mary Jo Mike took one of these home. She put it in her purse, took it to school. A co-worker came to her in much distress with a family that was in disarray. Did I embellish that much? Okay. She could give her this. So happened, wasn't only the Bible, but it was some helps in the back. This is the New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs, incidentally. But there's some helps in the back that pointed her to the helps that she needed. So Mary Jo came with a testimony that whoever left those two boxes of little New Testaments here at the church 2 or 3 months ago, thank you if you happen to be the one. because it helped one family through a really, really difficult week in their life, and hopefully it will help them get things together. The co-worker is a Christian but needs a lot of help. Okay, then I brought this Bible, one I've been carrying for years and years and years. You can see the back is off of it, but I still keep it around, and the back, it all slides around and kind of frazzled, and that's kind of a trademark of a good preacher. He's worn his Bible out, and I threw that one around in the car, maybe have been disrespectful. You have with you two in the pew, and I call your attention to them, one King James and one New International Version. The more purplish one, or has a purple tint, is a King James, so we have a mixture of those in the pews. I trust that there are some there if you will want to follow. And then a little Bible. I think I got this from Julie Lux. She brought me this little New Testament with the whole Bible in that much. But friends, have to keep your glasses updated to be able to read that one. And then this one, All Bible Helps. A few weeks ago, I think it's 2 weeks ago, I mentioned that I might remember, and if I didn't remember, you could volunteer and call my attention to the fact that I gave you a list of all the Bibles, had the Gospels on one shelf. It's kind of like a bookshelf. And then for the New Testament, the Gospels on one shelf and the history on another shelf, and then the letters on another shelf. They were divided up like that. And then the prophecy on another shelf. Old Testament, history, wisdom literature, the prophets, etc. And I said, encourage you to memorize the books of the Bible in order and quote them. Did anybody do that? About like homework when I was in school, right? Well, Peggy Donovan quoted this morning something. She had memorized the Bible books in order from childhood. 6 or 7 years old, she said. And she reluctantly, she didn't want to show off, but we pulled it out of her and she recited the books of the Bible. At least she would know where to go. When you say turn to the book of Hezekiah, she'd know where to go. There's nobody going to question me on that. There's not a book of Hezekiah. Okay? You knew that, didn't you? But somebody said, how many's read Hezekiah 5:18? Two or three people raised their hand. Well, they hadn't. Because there's no book like that. But Hezekiah is a Bible man, a king, and his life was extended 15 years. God gave him a reprieve on death, I guess. But anyhow, who can sing the little song about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Blah, blah, blah. Somebody want to do that for us? Somebody did somebody do that last week? Did you do that last week, Julie? You passed, okay. She could. Okay. She don't want to. We're trying to get people to let their light shine that we may see their good works and bring glory to God in heaven. Who will let their light shine this morning? Okay, in that way. Maybe there's other ways you're going to let your light shine. Okay. Let's talk about rules then. My goodness. If we can't talk about the Bible, we'll talk about rules in the Bible. You like rules? How many like rules? Understanding God's rules. Maybe a better title for this would be obeying God's rules, or the importance of obeying God's rules. We put all these scripture verses up here, couldn't settle on one. John, the apostle, writing to the Christians of his day and to us about, we listen to testimony of men, but God's testimony is more important. God's word is more important than any people have given. And then the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Jesus is talking to God the Father, praying for the disciples and even praying for us. Way back then, he was praying for you and me. We who would believe and become believers in Jesus. And he talked about God giving his word. And then John 14:26 starts talking about the Holy Spirit. That's one of the points today. The necessity of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, to enable us to understand what God is saying to us. And then that in both John 16 and 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 14. Let's think about some rules. What do you think about rules? Maybe you want to answer. You may want to speak up and say, I hate them, I love them. Everybody needs them. We don't need any. We've got too many. Let me be quiet just a moment. What do you think about rules? Be home at... What's a good hour for a teenager to get home now? 12 o'clock? Like those rules? Call home if you can't make it. Like those rules? Okay, rules. Different people respond differently to rules. Some people follow every rule down to the detail. I mean, just really, really follow the rules to the detail. Others look for ways that they can get around rules. I know some people, any way they can, they're going to bypass a rule. Others just ignore the rules. Saw it happening yesterday. So speeding rules. Up about on Clover Cross, anybody come through and get a special little piece of paper? I didn't. I was going the other way. Clover Cross in Pleasant Hill, they were making sure that people that came from Franklin were obeying the speed rules. You couldn't see them from Clovercroft till you got by. But I was going out Williams Road, and there they came. Two cars and flashing lights in the third car. I said, uh-oh, what's happened now? The sheriff's deputy was there helping people to obey the rules. And I wasn't thinking about the car in front, but the second car, they stopped him and gave him a... I don't know what they gave him, but I went on. I didn't want to hang around too much. And the lady down, I made a visit down in Clovercroft, and they said, it's the third one they caught this afternoon. And then when I went on down the road, they were there at Pleasant Hill helping people. Somebody evidently was not obeying the rules or looking for a way or ignoring it altogether. Some say, and I've heard it all my life and possibly too much, and I probably said it, shouldn't have, but I did. Forgive me. Rules are made to be broken. I have a little trouble following some rules. I really do. I don't know what it is, but it's seemingly my nature to just kind of rebel against the rules. And I get in trouble each time I try that. But it's kind of in me. I question so many rules, and just wonder about them and fuss about them and scream at the people that make them. Even sometimes eyeball to eyeball with them. What about you and rules? What about God's rules? God has some rules for His people. Symbol of the Ten Commandments there. The stone tablets. Said Moses broke them all 10 of them. Coming down from the mountain, saw the golden calf that his brother and the other people had made and angered him. So he just threw them down and they shattered. They had broken them. So he had to go back up later and receive another copy of the rules. That was 20th chapter of Exodus, and then somewhere in the 30th, 10 or 12 or 15 chapters later. God has some rules for His people. We may not like them, but they're there. One of our beliefs as Cumberland Presbyterians, but more importantly as Christians, one of our beliefs as Christians is that this book contains God's rules. This book contains God's rules. We put it, the Scriptures, the Bible. The Scriptures. The Bible is, the Scriptures are the only infallible rule of faith and practice. That's a statement right out of our Confession of Faith. The Scriptures are the infallible rule of faith and practice, the authoritative guide for Christians. So if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to follow the guidebook, we need to follow what it says. And put that another way, the Bible. God's rules are to be believed and lived. God's rules are to be believed and lived. These infallible rules, or this infallible rule of faith and practice. Faith is our belief. Practice is what we do. For the rule of faith and practice, the authoritative guide for Christians, or for Christian living, or for living as a Christian. The Bible, to be believed. We have to believe it, we've got to know what it says. So it's a given, is it not? If we're going to believe it, we have to read it, or at least hear it. Listen to it. What I've learned is through hearing the Bible, I will hear things that I haven't grasped as I was reading it. I'll hear something. Let's listen to that again. Back up, listen again. Back up, listen again. My goodness. Maybe my mind wandered while I was reading. I have that mind that just jumps around. And then if we're going to practice it, that means to live it, to obey it. So maybe the title we said, Obeying God's Rules for Life. Now, believe, that applies to many, many writings. I'm going to say all nonfiction. If it's the truth, it's been written, we can believe it, can't we not? Now, fiction, we know those are not real stories. They're fictitious stories, or they're just stories. But U.S. history, we study U.S. history, and we can believe what we read in the history book, that Columbus sailed the ocean blue, 1492, came to America, what became America, etc., etc., etc. Ancient history, we can believe it. One thing that I grew up with, when people began to question whether people really went to the moon, you may be one of them. You may still be saying people did not really go to the moon, that this is all a conspiracy to get us to believe that people went to the moon, and that it's really a desert scene, and it's all fake that they went to the moon. I happen to believe that it's real, that they did, people really did go to the moon. But you may be one of those who still hangs on to that belief that people didn't go. I think you can read that, and it's true. The Bible, though, is different. These things may help us in life, but eternal life, these things have nothing to do with eternal life, or very little, if anything. But the Bible is different. The Bible tells us what happened in the past. One of the things that it tells us is about the flood. Mary Jo talks to the children about, and talked to us about too. It tells us what will happen in the future. So the Bible is an account of what's happened in the past. It's a prediction or a promise of what happened in the future. But more important, the Bible tells us how to live today. It tells us how we can honor God. It tells us, where am I? It tells us how we should honor God. It tells us how we should act, how we should live. It tells us how we should treat other people. God did not just send us out here into the world without some instructions. Some people have never received the instructions, but there are instructions about how we're to relate to one another. There are instructions about how we're to relate with God, the vertical and the horizontal, it's been called. How to act in this world, even when we're by ourselves. God's rules. God's rules for us to follow. Infallible rules. Without fault. The authoritative guide for Christians to live by. Another thing we know that we understand is that scriptures should be understood in the light of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Even the Old Testament, when we read it, we should read it thinking of the life, the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. They were questioning him, and it's in John 5. He talked about them searching the scriptures. Well, the Pharisees only had the law and the prophets in some wisdom literature. They didn't have the New Testament, in other words. The New Testament hadn't been written when Jesus was here. It's written about him. So he's talking to the Pharisees who were well-versed in the Old Testament. Well-versed in the Old Testament. And he said, concerning that, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they testify to me. That's what Jesus was saying, that the scriptures, the Old Testament, speaks of Jesus. One place, and I think I quoted it last week or referred to it, Isaiah 53. Actually, Isaiah 52 and 53. But that's not the only place. Micah, about the birth of Jesus being in Bethlehem. Many places in the Old Testament where we find a reference to the one who is to come. Even the sacrificial lambs upon the altar offered for sin was pointing, they were all pointing to Jesus. And you read the book of Hebrews over in the New Testament, you have reference to this. These were offered back then, but they were not sufficient for all of our sins. Jesus came and he was the sufficient sacrifice for all time, for past, present, and future. The scripture should be understood in the light of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Also, Jesus is preaching what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's the 5th chapter of Matthew. And he said that he had not come to abolish the law. And some people will tell you, after Jesus came, we don't have to go by the law. Or after Jesus died on the cross, we don't have to go by the law. And he said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I just came to fulfill the law. And the sacrifices that were made for sin, Jesus made an all-sufficient sacrifice. And then in Matthew 22... somebody came and asked Jesus what was the greatest commandment. He said, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus quoted from the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The first and the greatest commandment. And then the second is like that. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, on these two commandments depend or hang all of the law and all of the prophets, or the Old Testament. They, could you say they're summed up in these two commandments? Is that making it too simple? Our professor, I guess I was raised on, scared of at that time, but was raised on back at Bethel College, was Hubert Mara. He wrote a little book called The Covenant of Grace. And he says, interpreting the scriptures or understanding the scriptures in the light of the Christ event, the birth, life, death, resurrection of Jesus, or the Christ event, involves understanding the Scripture in light of God's love. John chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, "For from the fullness of His grace we have all received one blessing after another." From the fullness of God's grace we have been blessed. Jerry spoke of our blessings that God has given us in the offertory prayer. God has sent His grace toward us, especially the grace of salvation through Jesus. He has so blessed us. But since far the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So we said one thing, that the Bible is the Word of God, the infallible rule of faith and practice. What did we say? The authoritative guide for Christians. We understand the Bible thinking, we read it thinking of Jesus, the Messiah, the promised one, God in the flesh come to earth. And then God's Spirit enables us to understand God's Word. It's just so much more history without the Spirit blessing it. We talked a week or two ago, I'm not sure which Sunday, about God inspiring those who wrote it. Some even say they put a pencil in their hand and He controlled the pencil. He guided it around. I don't see it quite that way. But He planted it in their minds and in their hearts. The law, like He did to Moses. And the Bible was written by the inspiration of God. But the Bible also is understood by the inspiration of God. God inspires us and enables us to understand God's Word. And it becomes more than just some little stories about a good man who went around doing good. It becomes God's Word. The letters become more than some correspondence from an itinerant float around preacher named Paul or Peter or John or Jude. It becomes the Word of God. It enables us to comprehend it as God's Word. Actually, without the Spirit, put this another way, without the Spirit of God enlightening us or teaching us, it's just so many more words or so much more history or so much more good advice that we can take to leave. But the Spirit convicts us, converts us, and consecrates us. I tried to quote Nails for Ray. Can y'all remember that? Convicts, converts, consecrates. In about the middle of the story, I got lost this morning at the 8 o'clock hour. Nails for Ray was a professor at Vanderbilt, to my memory. He came to the seminary to speak or a minister's conference to speak somewhere along the way, and he would open his lecture. It's a lecture. Or he'd say, "Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come like the fire and burn. Come like the wind and cleanse." I believe I'm right on that. Convict. Convert. Consecrate. Did I get that right, Albert? Pretty close. Pretty close. You were probably there. Convict, convert, consecrate. The Holy Spirit comes through God's Word and blesses us. Blesses us. We have not received, 1 Corinthians 2, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. The King James says, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Then he goes on in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 2, 13. "This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words." The man, this is verse 14, the man, the person, we don't leave the women out, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The Spirit of God, God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, there's many ways to refer to it, or to him. God's Spirit enables us to understand God's Word. Bible scholar Edgar Goodspeed, no book means so much to religion as the Bible. It has more to teach the modern world about religion than even its strongest advocates have realized. You and the Bible. You and the Bible. Me and the Bible. Just let me challenge you. Read it. And live it. The most important message of the Bible, I believe, there is salvation from sin. There is eternal life in the presence of God through Jesus. Convict us of that, O Lord. Convert us. Change us. And consecrate us. Until we are fully thine. One of God's promises is that in Jesus Christ there is redemption, forgiveness, eternal life. Many, many more promises in God's Word. Part of these rules are promises. Part of this rule or this scripture promises of God's blessing, redemption. We're going to sing Standing on the Promises. Would you stand with me? It's 271. And let's sing 1 and 2 and 4. The promises of God. Salvation. And then, how to live as a saved person. Maybe it is that you have a public response this morning concerning your relationship with God, your understanding or your belief in the Bible and the teachings of the Bible that Jesus is Savior. I don't know what God is saying to you. Be foolish to try to figure it out. But if he's calling you to make a public response, I'll meet you here and pray with you that we might come to some kind of understanding of it. Is it 271? 1, 2, and 4. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing